This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
What's up, y'all? Welcome or welcome back if you are rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, and it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Today, we've got an incredibly exciting guest. His name is David Sirota. And for those of you who may not be familiar with him, David is a man of many talents with an incredibly impressive background. He's been a celebrated journalist for decades. He's had a long career working in politics, but most recently he's been a senior advisor and speech writer for Bernie Sanders' 2020 campaign. Since then, he's been nominated for an Academy Award for co-writing Don't Look Up, Netflix's second largest movie ever. And he is now the founder and editor-in-chief of The Lever, an investigative news outlet dedicated to exposing corruption in America. One of my favorite pastimes as well. So excited to have you here, David, to talk about, again, the word of the day on my show is bombshell, your bombshell new report about this obscure tax loophole that I guarantee all of you've never heard of, that is going to be available to Elon Musk if Donald Trump appoints him, you know, as like the efficiency czar in his cabinet in some newfangled sort of role, or like Treasury Secretary, God knows what. So David, welcome. Thank you for making time. Tell us about this piece that just came out in The Lever. What kind of tax break would Musk be looking at?
Well, thanks for having me. So here's how it works. In 1989, the George H.W. Bush administration slipped a provision into the tax code that basically says that if somebody comes into government, a wealthy person comes into government, and the ethics rules, the laws say you have to divest your current holdings in order to eliminate conflicts of interest in your new government job, you get to defer all taxes on the sale of those assets essentially indefinitely, if not permanently. So now run that process through the Elon Musk appointment. And to be clear, the Elon Musk appointment is not some theoretical idea. I mean, Donald Trump has promised to appoint Elon Musk at one point, alluding to maybe a cabinet secretary, yes, but certainly a job overseeing the effort to make the government more efficient, which is, of course, a direct conflict of interest with Elon Musk's businesses, considering that SpaceX and Tesla have massive government contracts. Right. So the idea that there would be a conflict there, that's just a fact, right?
Yeah,
whose job is to audit the government and figure out what more government services to privatize, if that person also is a government contractor that could get more contracts off the privatization. Okay, that's a conflict. So if you run this scenario out, Elon Musk gets appointed, the ethics laws say, hey, you can't have this job unless you divest your holdings in things that create conflicts. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, could be given this tax deferral that's available only to government officials, which would end up being the largest tax break in the history of the United States of America, the largest tax break for one single person. So we're not just talking about Donald Trump gets elected and then like he cuts taxes for all billionaires. We're talking about a special tax break for one person, Elon Musk. There's been a lot of questions. Why is Elon Musk bankrolling the super PAC to help Donald Trump? Like, what's that all about? It's like, it's staring us all right in the face.
Yeah, it is literally quid pro quo at the highest and most clear. Like, when you define corruption, if you asked like a kid taking civics class in high school to define corruption, this is basically what they would explain to you. Buying political favors, unbelievable. what are we looking at here? Like, how much could he actually save?
I mean, it depends on what he would say he bought the original stock for, right? That's what capital gains is.
Yes.
It's the difference between what you bought it for and what you sell it at. But presumably he bought Tesla stock, owns SpaceX stock at a relatively low price. Now it is, those companies now have huge government contracts, so they're worth a lot of money. The gain would be huge, and he wouldn't have to pay on the gain. Now, the other scenario that could happen, I could certainly foresee happening, is that Elon Musk doesn't want to have to sell his companies, sell his assets, while also having a job that helps him enrich his companies, having a job that there is a conflict of interest.
Yeah, why sell it if you're just about to make it more valuable through trading on your conflict of interest?
Sure.
Makes perfect sense, David.
So the way you get around that is you somehow get the Office of Government Ethics, which is the law enforcement agency that enforces government ethics laws, you get the Office of Government Ethics to look somewhere else, look away, issue you a waiver. Now, you might say, well, why would that happen? How could that happen? Well, guess what? The head of the Office of Government Ethics is a five-year term. It's designed to be a five-year term to sort of not be on the same track as the presidential administrations. The head of the Office of Government Ethics, it's vacant right now. There is a nominee in the Senate right now that's been waiting for approval. The nomination has been blocked by the Senate Republicans. One Senate Republican stood up on the floor of the Senate to say, we need to wait until after the election. The implication being, if Donald Trump wins, we effectively want Donald Trump to be able to choose his own policeman. That if he chooses his own policeman, now you can imagine that new Donald Trump crony appointing someone who says, you know what, I'll issue Elon Musk a waiver. We won't enforce the ethics laws when it comes to Elon Musk or anyone else the president doesn't want us to enforce it on. And thus, these people get to be in positions of government power with clear conflicts of interest and the cops on the beat essentially in on the deal.
To summarize, Donald Trump has promised Elon Musk a cabinet position, which would trigger a tax break that would be the largest tax break, I'm going to go with like maybe ever in history, but certainly in the United States, for a single billionaire that already reaped billions in tax breaks from Donald Trump's 2017 tax cut for billionaires and corporations. And maybe he won't even have to sell it because the Republicans in the Senate have blocked the ethics watchdog that would oversee and make the decision about whether or not he actually has to divest when he engages in this horrific conflict of interest because he has billions in government contracts. And he's now on the cabinet looking into government efficiency and supposedly regulations of his very own business with those billions of contracts. Yeah, they're keeping that ethics watchdog position open until after the election so Donald Trump can win, put a lackey in the job, and then, of course, wave the magic wand to let Elon Musk engage in these.
I mean, it's their old playbook, right? I mean, we've seen them run that play with holding the, I mean, Merrick Garland, Supreme Court, right? That's their play. And the thing is with this, just explaining it sounds like something insane. It sounds like you're like, it's like so ridiculous that it can't be true, right? That's too ridiculous. Everything I've just said is literally true. You can find our story at The Lever, and you don't have to trust our story at The Lever. Every fact that we put out that's mentioned in this story, you can link back to government websites, you can link back to the documents, you can see it. This is 100% true. And one last thing I should add, this tax loophole has been used periodically in the past. Hank Paulson, the Treasury Secretary for George W. Bush, came from Goldman Sachs. He used this tax break to reportedly not have to pay taxes on, it was reportedly roughly about $400-500 million when he came over to the Treasury Secretaryship from being CEO of Goldman Sachs. So people have used this. This is not some crazy idea, some myth. This is real.
It's absolutely stunning. Now, it gets worse because he could avoid ever paying any tax, right?
Right?
Explain to us how this works, David.
Right. So it's technically a deferral. Now, when you defer taxes, you get to keep the money. You don't have to pay taxes. Obviously, you're going to be earning interest on the money. So that's, any tax planner says the more you can defer something into the future, the better. But if you put it in, essentially keep it in a mutual fund in treasury bills, in your trust, earning that interest, et cetera, and you die, you never have to pay. Not only do you never have to pay tax on it,
Nobody does.
Taxes on it never have to be paid.
And that's not David's opinion. That's not my opinion. That's from an expert from Holland & Knight, a guy by the name of Bob Rizzi is a tax attorney at Holland & Knight based in Washington, D.C. It is truly shocking. Why do we even have a tax cut like that or a tax loophole like this? I need to call it a loophole because that's what it is. Do we need this in today's government?
I think that's a fair question. And the summary on that is George H.W. Bush's administration said it was harder to get people to come into government if you said to them, we're going to force you to divest and force you to pay a capital gains tax. Now, I can see the argument for that for somebody who is upper middle class, even sort of affluent, but not a billionaire. And the Democrats had legislation to say, listen, this thing can exist. It just, you can't get more than a $1 million tax break on this, right?
So the Democrats tried to limit it to some reasonable amount. Okay.
Absolutely. They said, listen, the principle holds fine. There should be some way that if we force you to divest, you don't have to immediately get hit with a tax bill, and we'll make that tax benefit up to $1 million. Shocker, in the first Trump administration, that bill was blocked.
I'm shocked. No, I'm not shocked at all, David. Folks, that's my very special guest for today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. His name's David Sirota. He is the co-author of the Academy Award nominated Don't Look Up, Netflix's second largest ever grossing movie. We're talking about government corruption. He is the editor-in-chief and founder of The Lever. He just broke an incredible story about the billion-dollar tax loophole that will benefit one man, Elon Musk, if Donald Trump becomes president. We're going to have more with David when we come back, but I want to try to get in one more question. It seems like these ethics, the things that should just be, of course you have to do this, right? Like just very commonsensical, are sort of optional. Now, what's going on? I mean, we hear about these conflicts all the time. We hear about Congress people trading on insider information, basically, to enrich themselves. What's the problem here, David?
I'm glad you asked, and we should talk about it after the break. There has been a 50-year secret plot to legalize corruption in America, to legalize bribery in America, that we have just completed an 11-part audio series on that I'd love to tell you all about how what you've just described became legal.
That's David Sirota, my special guest today. You want to hear about this 50-year plot to make corruption legal in the United States. We're going to do that when we come back here on Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money on the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
Welcome back, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. My special guest today, his name is David Sirota. He is a journalist. He's a screenwriter. He's worked on the Bernie Sanders campaign. This guy's done it all. And now he's helping expose government corruption. He's founded and is the editor-in-chief of a new online publication called Lever. We're going to put the link to the absolutely groundbreaking bombshell piece he just did on the quid pro quo that's going on between Donald Trump and Elon Musk to help Elon Musk get billions and billions, billions in tax breaks if Donald Trump is elected. That article is going to be linked in our show notes. You can find that at civicmedia.us/Maggie Dawn Show. But David, you're telling me that this is not just a one-off. We've had a 50-year movement to basically make corruption in government legal. Tell us more.
So our audio series is called Master Plan. People can find it at masterplanpodcast.com. Our series tells the story of how from the Watergate era to today, there was a plan executed by specific people with a specific agenda to deregulate the campaign finance system and legalize bribery. That sounds like a conspiracy theory, but they, in many ways, they wrote it all down. So it's not a, it's a conspiracy, but it's not a conspiracy theory. This started with something called the Powell Memo. The Powell Memo was a memo written for the Chamber of Commerce by a guy named Lewis Powell, who at the time, this is in 1971, who at the time was the head of the American Bar Association and a tobacco industry lawyer, at the sort of prominent peak of the establishment. He writes this memo to the Chamber of Commerce. This is a moment when the corporate types are scandalized and very enraged and aggravated by Ralph Nader. Because Ralph Nader and the larger grassroots movements that he participated in were winning all sorts of things from government. The government had become, in Lewis Powell's mind, too responsive. I mean, remember, this is the era of Medicare, Medicaid, the civil rights laws, the voting rights laws, the EPA, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act. I mean, the government.
You know, the good old days.
I mean, just like the. So if you're Lewis Powell, if you're his corporate cronies, you're looking out at the world and you're like, the government is too responsive to the democracy. And we have to, we corporate types,
the
oligarchs, the elite, have to fight back. That's what his memo is all about. And his memo, there's a lot of things in his memo, but two of the things that it focuses on are the judiciary and the campaign finance system. And so subsequently from the memo in 1971, by the way, Lewis Powell, soon after that memo, gets installed on the Supreme Court, where he will come back to haunt our dreams. I'll tell you about that in a minute. As the Powell memo goes out, starts circulating, and the it ends up creating a lot of these groups, conservative groups, that we've now gotten used to, the Heritage Foundation, the Pacific Legal Foundation, et cetera, the whole right wing infrastructure is sort of inspired and built from this memo. And very soon after the memo happens, Watergate happens, and there is the post-Watergate campaign finance reforms, which are then immediately limited by the Supreme Court in that Buckley v. Valeo ruling, engineered in part by the Chamber of Commerce and the likes, to create the legal doctrine that money is not corruption. Money in politics is constitutionally protected speech, which is the basic building block of everything that subsequently comes. What comes right after Buckley v. Valeo is Lewis Powell himself is now on the court. He works, we have all these never before reported documents about this. Lewis Powell works behind the scenes at the Supreme Court to take that ruling and effectively apply it to corporations, saying corporations have an unlimited, constitutionally protected First Amendment right to spend whatever they want to spend in election. That's called the Bilotti ruling. The Bilotti ruling becomes the most cited ruling in the Citizens United ruling. Now, that's a very truncated way of telling the story, and a lot of the story focuses on how the Federalist Society grows up out of the Powell memo to focus on the courts and ultimately switch the courts over to the Roberts courts and what that means. But just to be clear, all of the corruption we're living in, it may seem like a natural inevitability, but it is not. It is an artificial reality created by specific people with a specific agenda. And you might wonder, well, why would they want to legalize corruption? Why would they want to deregulate the campaign finance system? Because I think they understood that their agenda, their self-enriching agenda, is not a popular agenda that can get enacted in a one-person, one-vote democracy, that they needed to use the one thing they have a disproportionate amount of. They don't have a disproportionate amount of the votes. They have a disproportionate amount of the money. So if they can use the money to obtain a disproportionate amount of the power, they rig the one-person, one-vote system that's supposed to be there into a essentially what you would call, I think fairly, an oligarchy.
Yes. When you layer this on with the history of the Electoral College and the fact that the Electoral College today bears no resemblance to what it was when it was created, we didn't have winner-take-all states. wow, we have really worked ourselves into a weakened state of democracy here in this
country.
Well,
as I say this, people are worried about democracy in the election and Donald Trump, and I totally understand that worry. But I've sort of glibly say this, and darkly funny, I guess. If you're worried about the democracy crisis, let me tell you about the 50-year plot to have every election bought, every piece of legislation bought, every court ruling bought. That's the deeper democracy crisis thrumming underneath everything.
He is the symptom, but is not himself the cancer. And even if we eradicate Trump, there will be the next version, which will be slicker and less offensive and much, much more dangerous. David Serrata, folks, my great thanks to you for your time today, sir. We're coming up on it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, last thoughts, David, I'm going to give them to you. Speak to Wisconsin voters.
Yeah, listen, I would say you're in the hot seat. Look, I grew up in Pennsylvania. I grew up being in the hot seat, too. Wisconsin voters are really in the hot seat. I would say, you know, keep in mind that there is an acute democracy crisis. I think Donald Trump is a real threat to democracy. But after the election, no matter who wins, remember that corruption is not something we have to tolerate.
Money is not speech, and corporations are not people. Thank you, David Serrata.
Thank you.
We will put the link to his article, Master Plan Podcast, all in the show notes. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to come back with Dr. Kristen Lierley, who's running in the 8th Congressional District, one of those down-ballot elections that makes such a big difference, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
The Patriotic Millionaires also purchase advertising time on various civic media stations throughout Wisconsin. You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You don't know me. Welcome back, everybody. My next guest definitely ain't owned by anybody. Her name is Dr. Kristen Lierley. She is a candidate in the 8th Congressional District right here in the great state of Wisconsin. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Dr. Lierley. It's always good to see you.
Thanks, Maggie. Good to see you, too. Do you know why I love that song so much? I'll tell you. When I was a kid, my mom had this great record collection, and this was before the internet, right? So we had time to kill. So I would listen to her records, and that was one of the records that we listened to a lot. And it reminds me a lot of when I was a kid. And now as a grown-up, I think back to the situation that my mom was in as a woman who didn't have a bank account and was stuck in an abusive relationship with an alcoholic husband and wanted something better, but had nowhere to go. And I see it in a totally different light now. When I hear Glenn Grothman talking about going back instead of going forward, it's just like I hear it and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, we're not going back. Mm-hmm. Speaking of albums listened to with our beloved mothers, the one that my mom and I used to listen to was Willie Nelson's Stardust, also an album. And I have this very specific memory of putting on sweat socks, like tying them or a bunch of them, right? And like sort of wrapping them around our feet as well to buff the hardwood floors after it had been re-oiled, right? And dancing with my mom with the buffer socks on to Willie Nelson's album Stardust. So,
oh, that's so great. What amazing memories. Music just does that for us, doesn't it?
100%. Speaking of a great memory, I am going to remember this next great ad of yours that just dropped. It is so on point. I want everybody to hear it that's listening. Let's take a listen to Dr. Lierley's new ad.
Meet Tony Weed. He wouldn't just let states ban abortion in cases of rape or incest. His gas station was sued for not paying bills and for stealing utilities from a neighbor. He's a multimillionaire who overcharged for gas during the pandemic. And see all those kids? Tony Weed was even caught selling them cigarettes and alcohol. We can send a lot better to Congress.
I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and I approve this message because guys like this are why I ride a bike.
Brilliant! I love it. And folks, you got to go look at the ad as well, because when you come blasting in, she comes blasting in from stage left at the very end of the commercial, like zip, and like you slam on the brakes on your bike with your little bike helmet on. I love this ad so much. How's the campaign going?
Oh my gosh, it's so good. And one of my favorite things about this is there are kids going in and out of this gas station. And one of those kids is actually a kid that I delivered. So I sat and chatted with their mom, with his mom and their new baby. That is just Green Bay. We all know each other.
Yes.
We're all connected. Like, where'd you go to high school? Who's your dad? What sports did you play? So yeah, and that's one of my favorite things about this area is it's such a sense of community. And when we're out talking to people on doors or bumping into people at the post office or at Culver's in Clintonville the other day, I'll wear my campaign hat and people will walk up to me and say, I love what you're doing. Thank you. I'm voting for you. I mean, even in these rural areas and small towns, I was worried that towards the end, as things started heating up, that things were going to get ugly. But I've experienced the opposite. People are finding their voices. They're feeling hopeful for the first time in a long time. And it's energizing me. I'm so excited, Maggie. You're not going to believe it, but I almost don't want it to end.
Oh, my goodness. I have legit. The closest thing to a woman that is fully 9 months pregnant saying, like, I'm ready for the baby is a candidate 2 weeks before the election. Like, I'm ready for the election. Bring it, please. Let's birth this thing into the world.
That's perfect. Well,
speaking of births and moms and all of these things, there has been some recent reporting, and I believe a new article that came out in the Journal of Pediatric Medicine that talked about the rate of infant mortality following the Dobbs decision, which made abortion illegal and inaccessible in many states. And it's showed basically that the infant mortality rate is much higher than we would have expected and much higher than it was pre-Dobbs. What are your reactions? I mean, as an OBGYN, your thoughts, Kristen?
I am not at all surprised by this. We know that in states with abortion bans, moms die at a rate nearly three times greater than they do in states without bans. Moms are dying. And now we've got the data that shows that infants are dying. And it's because it's harder to connect the dots. We had to wait and see what the chain was, you know, how we could show that it's just harder to prove the cause and effect when it's not as direct, but yeah. It's very clear. And for someone like me who takes care of patients, who understands how these issues affect people on a very personal level, not just at the time, at the point of contact, but for the rest of their lives. I get it. And that's a huge reason that I have to use my voice. I had to run for Congress. I am, even when this campaign is over, win or lose, I'm not done. I'm on a mission because I owe it to the families that I serve and to the communities that I serve. So yeah, I'm not at all surprised by this, but I know that a lot of people really are.
So we know, again, that maternal mortality rates go up when abortion bans are in place. We know that infant mortality rates go up when abortion bans are in place. And then here's this kicker for all the quote-unquote pro-life folks out there, because I'm pro-life too. I just mean for the entirety of a person's life. I've digressed. We also know this. This is based on an article and reporting that came out by the New York Times just 2 days ago. That in states with rigid abortion bans, like the most draconian, abortions have actually increased post-Dobbs.
Mm-hmm, that's
so
true.
To recap, more abortions, not less, post-Dobbs, higher maternal mortality and higher infant mortality. And here's the thing, Kristen, and you alluded to this. Every knowledgeable, objective, good faith expert told legislators this, have been making these points clear for years. And now, as you put it, we're seeing the actual cause and effect evidence, which is devastating from a human toll and a human misery perspective. Kamala Harris yesterday released a new ad addressing this about a woman and her husband who wanted desperately to have a baby. She had a miscarriage. She couldn't get the care she needed because she's from Texas. She got septic, nearly died, had a traumatic surgical intervention. Surgery took over 6 hours. She's permanently scarred, and it is unknown and more unlikely than not that she will not be able to have a kid again. Your reaction to that?
Yes, I get that. I see that. I talked with Kate Cox. If you'll remember, Kate Cox is a woman from Texas. She had a history of, I think, 2 prior C-sections. She had a much desired pregnancy with a genetic problem, trisomy 18. This baby was not going to survive. So she petitioned the court for an abortion, which is a very appropriate thing to do. And they said yes, but then it was blocked. And in the meantime, the pregnancy is getting further and further along. She ended up having to fly to New York to get the care that she needed. And so I said to her, Kate, help me understand, how do you stay in Texas? Because my colleagues are leaving these places because they don't feel comfortable providing care in places where providing the standard of care could put them in jail and they could lose their license. And they also don't want to stay there as young people of childbearing age because they feel like their own lives are in danger. And she looked me square in the eye and she said, Kristen, I'm from Texas and my family is in Texas and Texas is the place where I belong. And this is not how Texas is. And I have to fight back. And that's why I'm speaking out. And it breaks my heart every time a woman who has had an experience like this has to speak out. They shouldn't have to. You don't have to speak out about your cancer diagnosis and your struggle with treatment or heart failure and how you've had a hard time getting that diagnosed and getting the medications that you have a hard time affording, but you need to save your life. We're not demanding that from other people, but women are having to do that in order to get the message out. It's hard, but it's necessary right now.
Yeah, it's stunning to me that, you know, Texas is this place where Democrat, white-haired, I mean, ball buster Ann Richards used to be the governor of. I mean, like, where did that place go? Mm-hmm. I just, this, and I don't mean this in any way in minimizing what we're talking about, but I have blithely said many times for all of the men that I see getting up talking about how we need to ban abortion. I asked them, hey, how's your Viagra prescription? Oh, do we ask? Because seriously, like, I have never seen a conservative man get up and say, like, well, insurance companies should only have to pay for Viagra if you are of childbearing age, your wife. Oh, yep. You got to be married, by the way. Your wife can actually have a child. And oh, we're going to give you a financial means test to make sure that you can actually raise this kid. They've never said that, but they're plenty interested in what we're up to in our bodies. I mean, it's absolutely horrifying. But I want to ask you about the other topics that you're hearing from people as you are canvassing in the 8th Congressional District. Folks, if you're just joining us, my special guest, Dr. Kristen Lierley, she hops on every Thursday at 3:30 leading up to the election to talk about what's going on in the 8th CD. What are you hearing from folks in addition to wanting to protect reproductive freedoms?
Before I answer that question, I'll just mention that after all, Viagra is at the root of the problem of these unplanned pregnancies. Not that I want Viagra to be taken away, because everybody who has a medical condition deserves to have that condition treated, and it's important. But in Texas, the one statistic we didn't mention was the 25,000 rapes that ended in pregnancy in 14 months after the Dobbs decision. In 14 months. So, like, this is serious stuff. But what am I hearing at the doors? Well, reproductive rights are definitely top of mind. I hear that with almost every woman that I talk with and with many men that I talk with as well. But you know what almost everybody wants to talk about? The economy. Mm-hmm. They're very concerned about the economy. And it's things as simple as, I don't know which bills I can pay and which bills I have to put off, or I don't know if Social Security is going to be there for me, or I don't know if I can afford my medications, healthcare, the cost of healthcare, being able to even get to the doctor, all of these things are huge problems for people. And another thing that I'm commonly hearing is immigration. People are starting, the message is starting to penetrate a little bit. They say open borders, but when we start to talk about what this really means and the solution that is there in Washington, D.C., just ready for a leader with political courage to let it happen. And I will be part of that solution once we get Donald Trump out of the way, because he's the barrier. Once we can get enough leaders behind this bill, we know they're there, we can start solving this immigration crisis. And people do understand that. So, you know, really what I'm hearing at the doors is people want to be heard. They're tired of ugly politics, and they really appreciate people like me and all of the state candidates up here in Northeast Wisconsin who are taking our time, having these conversations, and giving them the hope that they've been waiting for over a decade.
No kidding. Well, gals, gays, and men of good faith turning out in the thousands for Dr. Kristen Lierley, my special guest every Thursday at 3:30 leading up to the election. She, again, is running in the 8th Congressional District to actually go to Congress and get some things done. Because, folks, it is actually these down ballot races. Yes, the presidential race is absolutely critical and we all should be voting, but it's these congressional races and the state assembly and Senate races that are going to make a difference in your everyday life the day after the election more directly than the presidential race could. And Civic Media has got you covered. You can check out our voter guide at civicmedia.us/voter guide. Last thoughts, Kristen.
Yeah, check me out too, KristenForWisconsin.com, KristenForWisconsin on all of the socials. Maggie, we're having such a blast, and I'm so grateful to you for giving me this opportunity to talk about things. Listeners across the state, if you have questions, please pipe up. We want to hear from you. We want you to know, especially in those rural areas where you feel unheard and you've felt unheard for a long time, just talk to us.
KristenForWisconsin.com. It's a pleasure, Dr. Lyra. We'll have you back next week. Folks, when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about the trouble that Fox News has editing content. Weird. We come back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What's up, y'all? Hope you're having a really great Thursday. We're almost to the end of the week. I can taste Friday. I'm looking forward to it. But I really enjoy being here with each and every one of you. If you missed any of today's great show, you can always find my past episodes at civicmedia.us/Maggie Dawn Show. You can check them out there. And that's also where you're going to find in those past episodes, when you click into those, that's where you see all these things that I talk about, like show notes. So when I say I'm going to put in that great New York Times policy side by side, comparing Donald Trump's policies and Kamala Harris by topic, that's going to be in today's show notes. When I talk to you about the great movie that we just discussed with David Sikora, that's going to be in the show notes. You can check it out there, as well as the podcast that he's got that studies the 50-year plan to legalize corruption in this country, all in the show notes. Again, civicmedia.us/Maggie Dawn Show. First and foremost, I have to keep my most patient caller. Gotta give him a chance. Mark, you've been a mensch waiting to get on air here. Sir, what would you like to say this afternoon?
Yeah, thanks so much. And I texted it in that apparently Republicans now think ethics is spelled flexix, because they're pretty flexible in what they think is ethical. And, you know, one of the points I texted this also is that you could pull out of the Declaration of Independence, which is basically a bill of indictments against King George III of England, that you know George III didn't want to have a sensible immigration policy into the country, granted for different reasons. He wanted judges to be dependent on his will alone, because he wanted them to do whatever the hell he wanted. And also, it specifically incited domestic insurrections against us. Donald Trump incited an insurrection against us. And you could probably pull more out of there, but I mean that this election has to be a Declaration of Independence against Donald Trump. And
I love that. A Declaration of Independence against Donald Trump, the MAGA movement, and corruption in government. I'm going to add some on there, Mark. Thanks so much for listening and calling. You can get your 2 cents in. End of the day here, 855-752-4842. Of course, you got Dom Salvia coming up next. My little buddy, you're going to want to keep it locked through the top of the hour. But Aaron, you know, there was this interview on Fox where Bret Baier basically debated the vice president, and he tried to ask her like the gotcha question, right? Let's take a listen, because it's an interesting edit by Fox News here.
I heard about that. They were saying I was like threatening. I'm not threatening anybody. They're the ones doing the threatening. They do phony investigations. I've been investigated more than Alphonse Capone. He was the greatest gangster. No, it's right. True.
We've
no, but think of it. It's called weaponization of government. It's a terrible thing.
So,
Brett, I'm sorry, and with all due respect, that clip was not what he has been saying about the enemy within that he has repeated. When he's speaking about the American people, that's not what you just showed.
And we can wrap that. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, she then body slams Bret Baier metaphorically, you know, with facts and reality, because this is what Donald Trump actually said.
I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of election day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military, because they can't let that happen.
Yeah. So, Bret Baier, you're basically lying by implication. It's such selective editing. It just disgusts me to no end. And just yesterday, more reporting that Fox News is faux news. It is highly managed. It is edited to make Trump look good. How disgusting. So this is Donald Trump did a barbershop interview, and it was uploaded eventually to Instagram. So it aired on Fox, okay? And segments were shown on Fox and Friends. But the full thing was actually uploaded to Instagram. Now, it's not unusual for news programs like this one, and again, I'm not a journalist, I'm a commentator, but we do try to get things right around here. For shows like this one, and any broadcast news or commentary program to edit interviews for clarity and length. But here, it was literally edited to make Donald Trump look good. One of the most telling parts was when an audience member asked Trump about finding a way to eliminate federal taxes in the future. And on Fox, it's just Trump saying, there is a way. But what actually happened was a 7-minute long ramble about everything else under the planet, with the questioner kept at, who had to like nudge Trump back to the actual topic at hand, which he then, after 7 minutes, said there is a way. And by the way, the idea of eliminating federal income tax is stupid. I'm just going to say that it's a stupid idea. What we need to do is fix the tax system so that middle class and working people pay less, and really rich people like Elon Musk actually pay their fair share. This is going to do it for me this afternoon, folks. But guess who I've got tomorrow on the show? If you like Family Guy, I've got the creator Seth MacFarlane is going to join me for an interview tomorrow on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm going to break down all of the preset that is necessary from Republicans for the Big Lie 2.0, why they're lying about polls, all on the Maggie Dawn Show tomorrow. But keep it locked right now. My little buddy is up next, Dom Salvia Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.